Good morning and happy Sabbath. And welcome today. You know, I put a lot of preparation into this, and I really hope it goes okay. I would appreciate your prayers. I'm way outside of my comfort zone, so I don't do this on a regular basis, but this is my first opportunity to be able to actually preach here at Piedmont Park, and especially in front of this many people before. So anyway, your prayers are appreciated, but if you would bow your heads with me and want to seek the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to share a message with your people today. And Lord, I thank you for your strength and your promises. Just as you told us in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And Lord, I just pray that you would open our hearts today. And as we hear the message, Lord, I ask that you would speak through me, that you will bless in spite of my weaknesses and give me strength. And I ask it in Christ's gracious name. Amen. Travel back with me, if you will, in your imagination to the time of Elisha the prophet, to the city of Samaria. The city is surrounded by the Syrian army. The people had chosen to walk against the will of the Lord. They had been warned, and the Lord had removed his hand of protection from the city, and they were surrounded. And of course, when an army surrounds a city, they're trying to choke them off. Well, things got so bad inside the city because they had no access. Again, they're surrounded by the Syrian army. Literally, that there was a famine, that people were starving to death. Which is shocking, but the Bible gives a detail that a donkey's head was selling for 80 shekels of silver. That's 2.5 pounds of silver. It's over $1,000 in today's market. Now, I don't know what donkey heads are selling for today, but that's a lot of silver at that time. But the story goes on to find four lepers that are outside the city gate. And those lepers have made the decision that it would be better for them to surrender to the Syrian army and face the chance of just being killed there versus starving to death in the city. But what the lepers don't know is that Elisha the prophet is inside the city. There was a prophecy made. The Lord sent the sound of war into the camp, and the Syrians had fled. So we're going to pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. If you'll turn there with me, 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. I'll give you just a moment to get there. And it says, "And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, and they ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. And then they came back and entered another tent, and carried some from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household.'" You know, it took them some time. They found all this camp empty. And, of course, they filled their own bellies first. They went, they hid this gold and silver and all these things. And just keep in mind, here's this city of people that are starving to death, not too far away from them. It didn't take long for conviction to set in, and they finally realized, you know, we're not doing right. This is good news, and that we need to share this with the people inside the city. My question today, though, friends, is do you have any good news that you can share with anybody in this city? Has God given you any good news? Well, if we're in doubt about that, let's take a look at a scripture in John chapter 10, verse 10. If you'll go there with me in John 10, 10. And John chapter 10, 10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now that sounds like good news to me. But if we're in doubt, Let's take a look at one more scripture, which was our scripture reading today in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And that says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So far here we've got the more abundant light. We've got being called out of darkness into the marvelous light. I mean, that sounds like extremely good news to me. Whether we realize it or not, when we accept Christ into our life, we've come out of the darkness into the light, and that means good news. So is your good news good enough? And if it is good enough, then we've got to ask ourselves, are we sharing that good news with others? Because ultimately, that's where we want to get today in the message, is about sharing what we have with others. There's a quote from the book Steps to Christ, and I'm sure you may be familiar with that little book, on page 79, that I think summarizes it quite nicely, and I've enjoyed, this is one of my favorite quotes anyway, but it says, "And the effort to bless others will react upon blessings for ourselves. This was the purpose of God in giving us a part to act in the plan of redemption. He has granted men the privilege of becoming partakers of the divine nature, and in their turn of diffusing blessings to their fellow men. This is the highest honor, the greatest joy that it is possible for God to bestow upon men. Those who thus become participants in the labor of love are brought nearest to their Creator." Now, you have to stop and think about this. You know, God could bestow a lot of things when it comes to great joys and the honor and all these things, but can you imagine? I mean, we're talking about the highest honor and the greatest joy is what? Is the privilege that we've been given to be able to share what God has given with us, to share with someone else. Who wants to walk closer with their Creator here today? I mean, we all do, I hope. Well, if we do, it's clear to me that part of that is laboring for others. If we want to be able to have that walk, that's part of it. Well, friends, I know that, excuses start coming to mind. You hear things like this, that, oh, no, it's a call for labor, and we're talking about witnessing again and stepping out. And I know things come to mind like, well, I don't know enough. I'm not trained. I haven't done that before. I'm a little leery about that. Or, you know, maybe you've heard this one before. Well, I thought that was the pastor's job. You know, that's what we pay him for, right? But, you know, we all have a part to play in it. I'm also reminded of the story of the 12 spies in the land of Canaan. You know, they were given a mission to go. And what did they do? 10 of those spies came back with what? With a bad report. They came back with bad news instead of good news. But they had plenty of good things to be able to see when they were there, right? But you know, just like the enemy convinces sometimes you and me that it's best for you to sit right where you are and don't do anything, that sometimes, well, just like in their situation, they basically had got caught up in looking at the giants and looking at the walls of the city and all these things, and their attention was completely drawn away from the mission that God had for them. But was God able to give them success in the mission? He was, right? Well, you know, that Caleb and Joshua seemed to think so. They came back with good news. They tried to convince the people otherwise, but it just didn't turn out that way. Well, one thing that gives me encouragement when I'm faced with, you know, discouraging circumstances, maybe I look at situations just like preaching today and I thought, oh, Lord, how am I ever going to make it through this? But one text that comes to mind and has always encouraged me is in Philippians 1, verse 6. If you'll go there with me to Philippians 1, verse 6. And the word says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And you might find yourself today saying, you know, I've never stepped out of my comfort zone. I've never shared my faith with somebody before. But this verse gives me courage because it tells me that there's a process here. that the Lord is willing to work with us, that he's the one that's going to complete the work in our lives. And if we're willing to step out, he'll meet us where we are, and he will complete that work and give us opportunity and work with us. So, you know, today can be a change. Today you can decide to say, you know, I'm going to walk with the Lord in a new way, and I'm going to take him at his word and step out of my comfort zone when I'm given the opportunity to do so. Well, part of that, for me at least, encouraging are testimonies. Now, you know, I'm sure you've heard maybe of Doug Batchelor's testimony. You know, he's running around naked in a cave and eating out of garbage cans. I mean, it was a pretty dramatic testimony. I know I don't have anything like that I can share with you today, but I can show you how God has led me through my life and opened doors of opportunity for me and helped me do things that I never would have been able to do by myself. But you may look at your life and you may think, you know, I just don't know what my testimony is. I mean, I can't, you know, I don't have anything dramatic that I can look at. Well, that can change as well because, you know, it struck me as in preparing for this that, you know, a testimony is, doesn't, we always think that, well, that's the time before, which, you know, we mainly focus on my transition from the darkness to the light. But, you know, your testimony is a lifelong thing. It's all the time being developed. And, you know, that's what this word is. It's a book full of testimonies. And it takes a person's life, the good and the bad and everything. But, you know, so take courage today. You may not have something you feel that you can share, but pray about it. When you step out in faith with God, I guarantee you, you will have something to share with somebody else. Well, so today I want to share just a bit of my testimony, best I can. My parents joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church when I was about 5 or 6. And here I am. At that time, I was about up to a pack a day of candy cigarettes and about a 6-pack a week of root beer. But seriously, my parents, when they joined, we were pretty consistent about going to church in my earliest years that I can remember. Going to Sabbath school. We had a very small country church that we attended. But you know, over time, church just was not a priority anymore. Our idea of, you know, of keeping the Sabbath was pretty lax. I mean, we would go to church for service, basically, and that was it. You know, Sabbath was not a 24-hour period to enjoy. It was just basically church. Now, my parents are very loving and caring. They taught me the importance of prayer. You know, I'm very thankful to my parents that they provided a Christian education for me in an Adventist school from the 4th to 10th grade, and that was a real sacrifice for them, not only for them, but for our little church that also sacrificed to help me get through. But, you know, as we got older, and part of it was just my own rebellious, you know, wanting to do my own thing, it was much more fun, at least for me at that time, to stay home and watch Saturday morning cartoons than to have to go to church, or to be able to go and do with my friends what I wanted to do after church. But the idea of the Sabbath being a blessing was just not there for me, you know, growing up, although I learned those things in school. Well, as I got older, and I went on to high school, here I am in high school, basically. We'll go ahead and turn that off and not leave it up there too long. That, you know, I kept getting further away from the Lord. Going to church was more and more sporadic. And, you know, it wasn't that I didn't believe what I had learned in school, is that I was not connected. You know, I had a list of rules, basically, and these wonderful beliefs, but I was not connected to the truth, the capital T, basically. Well, as I went on to college, and this is my post-college years here, I'd let my hair grow long and just doing my own thing. That's Halloween, by the way. I didn't dress that way all the time, but let's see here. We'll leave it there. But the Lord, you know, it's amazing how I had people praying for me, and I will encourage you, you know, I'm sure there are people here that maybe have loved ones that have left the church for whatever reason or maybe have never come to Christ, period. You know, I want to give you encouragement today to see that, or at least to show you how the Lord was working in my life. And one of those things is as I graduated from college and I had a degree in graphic design and I had planned for sure to go to a big city. As a matter of fact, I'd interviewed in Dallas and Tulsa and some of these places and I'd pretty much had gotten a job there already lined up. Well, I got a call out of the blue from a little place called Siloam Springs, Arkansas. I don't know if you ever heard of Siloam Springs or not. but a very small little place, and a friend of mine had graduated there and went to work there the year before. And in the process of the interview, they told me, they said, you know, we are closed from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Well, I thought, well, they're either Jewish or maybe they're Seventh-day Adventists. Well, sure enough, two of the owners were Seventh-day Adventists. So that was a real light bulb in my mind to say, you know, maybe the Lord is just kind of, I mean, this has got to be a God thing. And the job was good. They offered me the work. So I took the job, never imagined I would be working there in a small little town. But the other amazing thing about this place is they broadcast Adventist TV on a thing called Safe TV. And I started watching programs from time to time with Doug Batchelor. That's the first time I'd ever heard of Doug Batchelor. And some of these things. Watching those programs, that was really the only church that I had during that time. And those owners worked very hard to try and reach out to me. And I would go to church every once in a while at their invitation. But I just did not feel a need, you know. And if we don't feel a need, I mean, I didn't feel it was necessary. I still, again, would not have disagreed with people about that being the truth, but it just, I didn't need it at that point. Didn't have a Bible in my apartment and wasn't really interested. But I went ahead and, you know, continued to interact with them and others. But, you know, the Lord uses the gentlest hand possible to try and bring us back around. And He's desperate to reach us and to save us. And one thing I didn't mention, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease back in 1993. And around this time, after about 2 years, you know, my health started to fail dramatically. The studio was falling on hard financial times and various other things that were going on in my life where everything was just falling apart at the seams. And of course, with Crohn's and stress and all those things, I mean, it just goes together. It makes things much, much, much worse. But I found myself in the hospital, and actually to the point to where, you know, I was running some big serious tests to try and find out what was going on, and I woke up to find the doctor basically standing over me saying, you know, you're going to have to go into surgery tomorrow morning. We found some issues that we're going to have to operate on, and you potentially will be out basically for maybe 2 months of recovery. Well, I was not prepared for anything like that because I had just accepted a new job, and you know, the idea of being out for 2 months, I didn't know if the job would still be there, but I didn't have much time to really think about it because I was going into surgery the next morning. Well, I woke up in ICU, made it through surgery okay, thankfully, and they were able to put everything back together again, but the amazing thing is that they had removed a tumor or a mass the size of a football. Now, not a baseball or a softball, but a football. And part of that was the small intestine and part of the large intestine. But again, they were able to put everything back together, thankfully. But, you know, in that time, being in ICU, and nurses came by later to tell me, you know, when we opened you up in surgery, we just knew you were eat up with cancer. And but I made it through okay. And, you know, in ICU, hearing all those kind of things, you know, going through your mind, I realized that this could be very serious. And during that time, I had a friend from work come by. Her name was Michelle, and she brought her fiance with her. And of course, I was there in ICU, and she asked me a very hard question and very bold on her part, but she said, Adam, do you know the Lord? If this does not turn out the way that you hope it will, are you prepared? You know, friends, my question today to you is, do you know the Lord? If the tables were turned, are you prepared? That's something that you've got to ask yourself, because I was not. But you know, sometimes it takes hard circumstances to get our attention. And for me, that was it. And I decided what I had was not good enough. That her and her fiance prayed with me. I surrendered my life to the Lord from that point. And I'll tell you that, I mean, that's like a birthday to me. She can tell I still get emotional about it. But from that point forward, you know, I got out of ICU, My mom brought a little green Gideon Bible that I started reading again. My dad brought us Steps to Christ, first time I'd ever read that book. And, you know, I got through that process, and thank God that he turned my life around through it. But I started attending church again for the first time in a very long time, to a little church in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and they had a thriving little congregation, and I started learning all kinds of things that I had really forgotten a long time ago. And I'd run across a series of, at that time it was VHS tapes, but of New Revelation by Doug Batchelor. And it was a Revelation seminar. I'd never watched a Revelation seminar before. And this was, I think, a set from back in 96. But anyway, I was learning all kinds of things again, and I was under a lot of conviction. Because, you know, when I gave my life to the Lord in the hospital, he didn't just roll out a big long list of to-dos and say, you know, this is what you'd better start doing. He took me step by step and learning all these things, and one of those things was the Sabbath. Now, just like I had mentioned before, you know, the Sabbath for us growing up was just, it was a time that we went to church. It wasn't that 24-hour period, but I was becoming more and more convicted as I was learning that, you know, this is to be a relationship that I'm to have with the Lord, and it's supposed to be special time. It's supposed to be a blessing, not something that I just grit my teeth and go through every week just to follow the rules. Well, one Friday evening, I came in from work, and of course, conviction was there that, you know, my regular routine was to just to go out to eat and go to the movies, whatever the latest thing was, and do my thing on Friday night and Saturday and so on, and if I went to church. And so, you know, we're talking about a two-month time period from the time I got out of the hospital, roughly, which I recovered much faster, thankfully, than what the doctors had given. But I came in one night and I just said, Lord, help me. I you know, I want to do your will, but my heart is really not in it. And he led me to Isaiah 58, verses 13 through 14. If you'll turn there with me. And, you know, I had never even read the book of Isaiah, but I was hit with this verse as an answer in Isaiah 58, verses 13 through 14. And it says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, when I got up off of my knees, I couldn't quite say that I had not received an answer, because that's pretty clear cut. And even though my heart was still rebelling against the idea, you know, because I had the memories of my youth and just the idea, you know, going to school and what the Sabbath was about, but I thought, you know, this is supposed to be a delight, Lord, and it's not honestly a delight to me, but I'm going to step out in faith. And that's so many times when we come to decisions like this, you know, you see it clearly in God's word, but it requires you being willing to step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow your word. It's not convenient. It's not what I want to do at this moment, but I'm going to trust you that you will make this a delight to me over time. And you know, sure enough, as I did that and I made that decision that night, and just 2 weeks later, I mean, I was already beginning to really look forward to come home at the end of a Friday of work to have 24 hours to where the world was shut out, that I just had time to spend with the Lord, that I had time to spend with a new church family, and to be able to grow in him. Well, it wasn't too long after this that I was rebaptized. I'd been baptized back when I was about 12 years old, and it was more of just going through the process because I realized I did not have a relationship or a connection with the Lord. And, you know, all during that time, the only kind of connection I did have was a nightly prayer, which is more fire insurance than anything else. But I was rebaptized, and you know, they gave me a set of books called The Conflict of the Ages, and I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that book series or not, but I had not been that familiar with it, and one of the things that I started reading was Patriarchs and Prophets, and these are really big, thick books. You know, I mean, I got this series of books, and I thought, wow, it's going to really take a long time to read that. But I started reading Patriarchs and Prophets, and I'll be honest that the Bible was just dry to me still at that time. I had a struggle reading the Bible. And some of you may have a struggle, you know, reading the Bible at times. So I'd encourage you, at least for me, it worked. As I started reading Patriarchs and Prophets, there are scripture sections in there that you can read the scriptures that it's based on. Well, the Bible started coming to life for me in ways it never had before. And I actually started to have a devotional life that I had never had before either. So, you know, I can't tell you enough that, and put emphasis enough on the fact and the importance that you've got to be in God's Word every day, that it's got to be a relationship, and part of that relationship is reading His Word and spending time with Him every day. And I know, you know, we have busy schedules, and sometimes we're busy in the mornings, or we get up late, you know, and it's hard to be consistent, but I mean, it's just something that you've got to work every day to push everything out of the way to be able to spend the time with the Lord and spend that time in His Word. Well, it wasn't too long that the pastor grabbed me, basically, and started trying to get me involved and doing things, giving opportunities, and one of those was just to be a door greeter. Well, I didn't mention before, which maybe you already realize, the fact that I'm a very quiet person, and so for me, to be up front and giving a sermon is just like way, way, way out of my comfort zone. I'm not an upfront kind of person, but it shows, you know, God can do anything with us if we're willing to step out. So I said, all right, I'll try to be a door greeter. I'll do the best I can. And, you know, that was something, it was just a step. I mean, I had to step out of my comfort zone. And the next thing was, you know, I was asked to be a deacon and working and doing that. And they got involved in training for Bible studies and going door to door. And I mean, all these things, I was like, okay, well, I'll maybe go with someone, which I did, and, you know, learn. And we were, at the time, I think, passing out pamphlets for a meeting that was coming up. But all these little opportunities came up to be able to step out in faith. Well, the biggest opportunity of all, I had a friend that had a temperament much like my own, which gave me courage anyway, because I said, you know, God can do that with him. He can do it with me. He said, you know, there's a jail ministry training class that's coming up, and you should take that class and get certified and come into the jail with me. I thought, well, yeah, I could probably do that, and, you know, I could just go along with him. Well, I went through the class, got through the series, and he said, you know, next Sabbath, we're going to go into jail, and we're going to be able to just give a simple Bible study. The particular area where I was at, they had a prison or slash jail. It was about 400 inmates, and you would go inside these areas, which was about the size of the sanctuary here, and they might have 50, 60 inmates in there walking around, and you just stand in, you holler out church, and the first 15 guys come to the line will be the ones that will go with you to a private room to be able to give a Bible study, and they have cameras in there to watch just in case they get rough or something. But so that morning there were 25 guys. Well, you think I'm nervous this morning? I was shaking that morning because I had not done anything in front of 25 people, much less 25 people in black and white stripes. So he gives the Bible study, and you know, all I could do is just have a closing prayer, and that was it. But you know, I got through, and I thought, okay, I can do this. You know, I'll go with him, have closing prayer. That's not a bad thing. But he told me after, and he set me up as what he did. He said, you know, I'm going to be gone next week, and these guys aren't going to have anybody to share with them at all. And I said, what? Surely there's somebody else, you know. And he said, well, I would encourage you to go in, because I know the Lord can do it. I've watched him work in your life, and I know he's capable if you're just willing. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. Well, I'll pray about it can be many times the famous last words. I'll pray about it. So I prayed about it, though, and I got to the point where I had courage enough to be able to say, okay, Lord, if you've presented the opportunity, I'll step out and I'll do the best I can. Well, I studied that week and really hard and put this lesson together, and thankfully my group was only 10, so it was smaller. But I just told them, say, hey, you know, this is my first Bible study, which it was first Bible study ever, because we had been doing some training and everything, but I hadn't had opportunity yet to share. And it went great, or as good as it could for the first Bible study and my temperament. But, you know, the Lord was with me, and he got me through it. And that was a huge leap of faith for me and growing experience. And you know, God wants to give us those kind of experiences, and sometimes it takes us stepping out of our comfort zone. A lot of times it takes us stepping out of our comfort zone, actually. But you know, that marked the beginning of like a 10 years, basically, that I've been able to be involved in jail ministry and sharing. It's been such a blessing for me during that time that I would encourage you, you know, I'll tell one little quick story in there, in the jail, in the process of sharing with people. You know, I've gotten to see inmates say, you know, I gave my life to the Lord, the other night. And as I read his word, it's like a light shining in my life. And, you know, the Lord convicts me. And I have such a burden lifted off of my heart that I never had before. And seeing guys baptized in the jail, all these things, it has your faith grows tremendously because, you know, it's all theory when you're just reading the books and you're thinking about it. You see other people do it, when you experience it yourself, then it becomes real. And, you know, that's the experience that God wants you to have. He wants you to be able to experience what it's like to be able to share with somebody and see the light turn on in their eye and see, oh, they've got it. They understand. Or that they share, you know, that they've given their life to the Lord. And it's not because of what I did. It's because of what God did in their life. And then I had the privilege to be able to be used by the Lord at that moment to be able to share with that person. You know, friends, as I close here this morning, I just want to throw it out to you that every one of you here, I'm sure, has a talent of some kind. And it may not be the talent or the thing that you think of, you know, when the Lord calls you in or gives you an opportunity. I never would have picked jail ministry in this area, basically, as, oh, that's my gift, unless the Lord had, you know, he presented an opportunity and I stepped out of it. So I just want to tell you that, you know, sometimes the opportunities come and it's not something that you're trained to do. It's not something that you feel capable of doing, but you have to trust that, you know, with God's help, I can step out and I can do this. But friends, the more important question is today is that if you know the Lord and you have a relationship with him, what are you doing with it? So just remind you as we close today at the end of the closing song that there will be elders down front, that you can come down for special prayer. You know, some of the things that we've talked about today, maybe you want a new start with the Lord. Maybe you want to pray and ask God, I want those opportunities, Lord, to be able to share my faith. I would encourage you to share that with some of the leaders here. I know that there will be opportunities, and even the spiritual gift analysis that we've done, if you haven't done one of those, I would encourage you to do that as well. I can tell you from my own experiences, when you step out and you say, Lord, I'm willing, the opportunities will come. Well, let's close with prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, today to be able to share your word. And Father, I pray that your people are encouraged, Lord, that as people look at their lives and question about their relationship with you, take a serious, hard look at these things and ask hard questions that I know, Lord, as you have been with me, that you will be with them. And I know, Lord, that there is a plan and a mission that you have for every individual here that is special for them, Lord, and you're just waiting for their willingness. And I ask that you would give courage and strength to everyone here today. And I thank you and I ask these things in Christ's gracious and heavenly name. Amen.